holding on Huff Dollar.
Okay, we've been talking about the idea of that in that one way of explaining on Mishnah how it is that a person makes a shibur,
and that a person makes a shibur not to eat and eats nevela, that he becomes tired for being over on his shibur. One way of looking at it, we said, is because you have an Isser Kovel involved over here. Because you have, he's asking himself things that otherwise would have been mutter, and therefore it's also chal on the things that already are also such as nevela.
So now, everybody agrees.
Well, we said Rav Shimon disagrees with that. So now we're going to discuss that point a little bit. Omar Rava, my time and demand to Yisrael is to Kerlo. What is the reasoning behind those Tanoim, such as the Chachamim of our Mishnah, according to Rav Yechonin anyway, who do hold of Yisrael Kerlo? The reason is, me did have our Yisrael Moisif. The reason is because they argue it's similar to Yisrael Moisif. Namely, again, you have two different types of things. Yisrael Kerlo, we've been talking about. Those who don't hold of it, like Rav Shimon, fine, they hold consistently in Issur Chal al Issur. One Issur cannot be Chal on top of another one. And Tosfos actually points out you have three different opinions that we're dealing with. You have the Chachamim, the most of the Chachamim, and the Halacha is like that you have both concepts, Issur Kolal and Issur Moisif. Either way is enough to have one Issur Chal on top of another. So that's I'll tell you in a second. You have Rabbi Yossi Agluli, who holds Rabbi Yossi holds of Issur Moisif, but not Issur Kolal. And then you have Rabbi Shimon who holds of Rabbi Yossi Agluli, that is. And then you have Rabbi Shimon who holds of neither one. Not Rabbi Yossi Agluli. Rabbi Yossi claims. So, okay, so you have three different opinions. What is Issur Moisif? So it actually explains like this. Issur Kolal, again, is you don't have any extra Issur added on this piece of meat itself, for example. But you have, you're now also in other things, and therefore that all-encompassing Issur ends up including this particular piece as well. Like we were saying before about, for example, Nevela and Yom Kippur. Like this, you're also to eat Nevela. The fact that it's on Yom Kippur in and of itself doesn't make this piece any more Issur. But you're also to eat anything on Yom Kippur, and therefore that includes also this particular piece of nevela. That's Issur Kolal. Issur Moisif is when you're adding some issur to the object itself that didn't exist before. We're going to give an example of it in the Gemara over here. Let's say, for example, that you have something which previously was also to eat, but you were allowed to burn it on the mizbeach. And then chelo, for example, once later on it becomes noiser, you have now Issur Moisif, you have a new Issur on it, you're not even allowed to burn it on the mizbeach.
You didn't necessarily have to cause yourself that second Issur.
Well, it became noiser, it became leftover, so therefore it was leftover after the proper time. But the point is, unlike Issur Kolo, where noiser is not an Issur Kolo, because you don't have the... You don't have, once the time expires for this piece of chalav, not necessarily do you have anything else added with it that now becomes awesome. Mm-hmm. You might have other meat of it also. Fine, Zashi and Tosfos discuss that later. But whatever, you have, the point is, as far as this chalav itself, you have Issur Moisif in that before you weren't allowed to eat it, but the Mizbeach was allowed to eat it, allowed to burn it, and now neither one is. So it becomes also not only to you, but also to the Mizbeach. That's Issur Moisif.
And the difference with Issur Kolal.
So you have opinions that hold of Issur Moisif, but not Issur Kolal, in particular Rabbi Yossi, Tosfos says. And then you have Rabbi Shimon involved in neither one, and you have the Chachamim hold of both of them.
No, but what's the difference with Issur Moisif and Issur Kolal? Issur Kolal is also an Issur where you're going to have another Issur attached to it.
The bottom line of it in both cases is that you're going to be chayav for two things. The question is, what is the mechanism by which that second issur is able to be chal? Is it because you're including other things that are mutter, and therefore automatically the thing that has also become included as well? Or is it the object that's also itself gains a new dimension of issur regarding somebody else or regarding something else in this case? That's issur moisif.
That's Issur Moisif.
Yeah. So either way, the bottom line is, yes, if you eat nevela on Yom Kippur, according to the Chachamim, you're going to be chayav double, and if you're going to be chayav double malchus, whatever, and if you uh, And similarly with the case of Chaylam, that no sir, as we're going to talk soon, you have multiple chatois and then a shalom, some level for it.
That's a new dimension.
So because you have, there's, we're going to see, where, as we get to, there's going to be both Issur Chaylam and Issur Moisif involved in that. But the point is that Rava is saying like this. The Tanoim who hold, namely the Chachamim, Rav Mishnah, who hold it, Issur Chaylam, they hold a bit midi dehavya Issur Moisif. They argue because it's similar in that sense to Issur Moisif. Even, so Rashi points out, and Tosfos explains in more detail, that even Rabbi Yossi, who argues in Yevamos and says there's no such thing as Issur Chaylam, he does agree with Issur Moisif. So the Chachamim say, well, once you, Rabbi Yossi, agree with Issur Moisif, then you should also agree with Issur Chaylam. Yeah. Oman de Potter, whereas Rav Yossi, who says you Potter, de Lesley, namely that he holds that he doesn't hold of Issur Chaylam. The reason is he argues Kiyama Issur Moisif b'chad chaticha, because the difference is Issur Moisif is you have a new dimension of Issur regarding this one piece. So you have again, let's say for example, as far as the Chaylam that became Noisif, that you're saying that this piece, which previously was only also to a person, being Chaylev, now becomes also to the Mizbeach as well. You have a new dimension of Issur that applies specifically to this piece.
How can, if already it's Issur from Chaylev, how can it be a Noisif?
What do you mean, how can it be Noisif? You leave it over and don't burn it on the Mizbeach before the deadline. That's what
unrelated to the fact that you're not allowed to.
You're not allowed to eat it, obviously, but it should have been burnt on the Mizbeach, like the rest of the Chaylev of the carbon, before, and it wasn't, so therefore it became Noisif. Now you're also to burn it on the Mizbeach. So therefore, Sir Rabbi Yossi would argue that, sure, Issur Moisif I agree to, because that all applies to the one piece that previously was Chaylev and also to you is now additionally Noisif and also to the Mizbeach.
But
to say that it should go from one piece to another, to say because, for example, you're also to eat A, therefore an Issur now comes on B as well, where B was already previously Issur, that he doesn't hold up. He says we don't say that. Whereas the Chachamim don't agree with that distinction. They say either way that it's able to work, and therefore that either Issur Kol or Issur Moisif works.
In general, it's a concept.
Either one is an equally valid concept. V'omar Rava, l'man de'isle Issur Chaylam. Therefore, Rava says, according to the opinion, who holds of Issur Chaylam, again, the Chacham Rav Mishnah, who holds of Issur Chaylam and Issur Moisif, then, according to Rav Yechanan's explanation anyway, then, omar shavua shalo echal te'enim, if a person were to say, first, a shavua that I won't eat figs, because of omar shavua shalo echal te'enim ba'anavim, and then he later on says, a shavua that I won't eat figs or grapes, nigo de chayo ha'anavim, since his shavua is able to be chal on the grapes, because those were mutter to him all the time, chayo mami ha'te'enim, then his second shavua is also able to be chal on the figs. And therefore, he would be chay of double. Because he's including grapes, which previously were mutter, together with the figs, which are also.
So we're not saying it's a second shvur.
No, so it is, right, so it's not shvur, kol al shvur. It's not, you can't say shvur, kol al shvur, because over here it can by virtue of Issur Chaylam. So the question is, Rabbi Yossi, fine, wouldn't agree with that, neither would Rabbi Shimon, but we're talking according to the Chacham. So the question is pshita. Well, isn't that obvious? That's exactly what Issur Chaylam is about. The answer is ma'od tema. You might have thought to say Issur habama elav aminan. You might have thought that you only say Issur Chaylam only when the Issur comes on its own, like for example noser, or for example chaylav on yom kippur, like we talked about. Nevela on yom kippur, that is. Issur habama atzmei lemin, and maybe this concept wouldn't apply when the Issur is brought about by the person himself making a shavua, which is what Rish Lakish should argue out of an aleph. Kamash Malan, that is Rava's Chiddush, that we don't say that. We don't make a distinction between how the Issur came about. The second Issur includes things that weren't previously included. Therefore, it's an Issur Kolo, and therefore the second Shavua is able to be Chal.
Whether
it comes automatically or not.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Everybody agrees with Rava on that?
Well, we're not. That's a good rule. The halacha is like Rava, but actually you mentioned a good point, because now the Gemara is going to bring up a contradiction to Rava and an answer. The question is, Tosfos asked, why didn't the Gemara ask the same question against Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing on Amud Aleph. Why didn't we ask on him? And the answer is, Tosfos says, because Rabbi Yochanan is referring to our Mishnah. So So fine, you could say, oh, Mishnah, fine, you have different other opinions. The Rabbi Yochanan holds that not necessarily, that Rabbi Yochanan might agree with Rish Lakish on that not necessarily the Tanoim, of our Mishnah, but there might be other Tanoim who make the distinction between whether it's a Bama Eila or not. Rather, it's just saying a generic statement, implying that everybody agrees with it, and therefore the Gemara is going to challenge him from a Mishnah, from a Braisa rather, where we see not like that. Yeah. Okay. The truth is, this that we're saying Ta'inim van Novim, by the way, is not so simple, because if he says, the Tosfos discusses later on the Perek, if he says Ta'inim van Novim, maybe it means he's only also to eat both grapes and all and figs, maybe not one individually. So Tosfos discusses over there what the exact lashon is. He'd have to say they also talk about Tosfos also talks about an Omen Aleph. We discussed yesterday, and we're going to discuss later on in the Gemara, the concept that a Shavua has to be behein v'lav. It has to be something that you voluntarily could do or could not do. Well, once he made a Shavua that he's not going to eat figs, how is he able to make another Shavua not to eat figs or grapes when he's already also to eat figs? There's no hein possible. He can't make a Shavua to eat figs if he's already also in them. So Tosfos on Amud Aleph gives a few different answers. One of them is we're talking. He didn't say specifically figs and grapes. He said generically that I won't eat. So therefore, it includes the figs also. Because he could have instead done a shvur that I will eat, meaning that he'll eat other things. Another answer Tosfos gives is maybe we're talking about the second shvur refers to bad quality figs, the kind that are not normally edible, the kind therefore that wouldn't have been included in this first shvur. Okay, anyway. All right, most of Rava Brei D'Rabba. Okay, the Rava Brei D'Rabba asks a question then as follows. You have a Mishnah in Krisus that says like this. Yesh oichal achila achas, you have a case where a person eats one thing, meaning one kezayis, v'chai v'loya avachatois, the Asham Echad. He ends up being chayav for it, four Hatayos and one Asham. We'll show you that, obviously, we're talking about. The Elohim, Tomei, She'ocho Chelev, V'hu Noisa, Min HaMukdash, and Yem HaSeporim. You have a person who's Tomei, who ate Chelev, which is Noisa, from a Korban, and it took place on Yom Kippur. So therefore, he's chayav on the grounds of Chelev, and Noisa, and Yom Kippur, and that he was a Tomei who ate Kodesh. So plus there's also Me'ilah involved over here because nobody is allowed to be eating Chelev, not even a Kohen, therefore it's the equivalent of Me'ilah, misusing something of Hekdesh. Now, Rashi explains that each one of these is either an Issur Kohel or an Issur Mois. Let's work it out. To begin with, as soon as the animal is born, it's Chelev is Osir. You make it Hekdesh, you declare it to be a korban. Well, then you have an Issur Kohel, because now the rest of the animal becomes also to eat until you bring it as a korban. So that's Issur Kohel, the rest of it becomes also, and therefore the chelev becomes also as kodshim as well. Then, so that's Issur Kohel. Then it becomes noiser. So now you have an Issur Moisif, because again, the chelev before was mutter to be burnt on the Mizbeach, and now it's also to be burnt on the Mizbeach. So that's an Issur Moisif. And when the person becomes Tomei, then since he's also now to eat any other kodshim, then also he's also to eat this one. So that's again an Issur Kohel. And Yom Kippur comes along, and because he's also to eat anything, even Cholin, therefore also it's Chal on top of all these other things. So therefore each one of these is able to be Chal on top of the other one. Either Issur Kohel or Issur Moisif. Yeah, you have different ones. Again, you have all the different Issurim over here. Some of them are Kohel, some of them are Moisif. The fact that it was Chelev to begin with, the fact that now it's also as Kodshim is an Issur Kohel, because you're including the meat as well, becomes Osir. The fact that it becomes Noisir is an Issur Moisif, because you're adding an Issur that this piece of Chelev is now also to be burnt on the Mizbeach. You have the Tomei is again an Issur Kohel, because he's not allowed to eat any kodshim now. And the fact that it's in Kippur is again an Issur Kohel, because he's not allowed to eat anything on Yom Kippur. So again, according to Rabbi Shimon, none of that would apply. According to Rabbi Yossi, only some of it would apply, because he only holds of Issur Moisif, not of Issur Kohel. So he would say that you only chayav twice, one for Chelev and one for Noisir.
But those, it
because there was chelev to begin with, and the chelev is the chelev to begin with, and then the fact that it became noiser, and now there's an Issur Moisif, and that's also to be burnt on the Mizbeach once it became noiser.
And the other ones?
The other ones are all Issur Kohel.
So the Issur Moisif, is it within the same the same
object. That was the Gemara's point before. That was Rava's point before. That Rabbi Yossi would say, I agree you can have Isser, Chalal Isser, when the second Isser applies specifically to this object and is adding a new dimension of Isser to it, where before you were also to eat it, and now the Mizbeach is also to have it burnt on it. But not to say that a more all-encompassing, that you're now including Dvarim HaMutarim, and therefore the Dvarim HaAsurim, which are a separate object, should be included. That, Rabbi Yossi says, I don't agree. Anyway, so that's the Mishnah. So you have, again, four chatois and one asham. So for Me'ilah, you bring an asham. For the other four things, for Tomei, for Chela, for Noiser, and for Yom Kippur, you bring a chatos for each one of them. Because each one of them would be chayav kares if you did it for me. Rameo, Omer, Afim hoisa Shabbos for Hoitzio. Rameo says, I can give you another one. If it was Shabbos, and he took it out, and he carried it outside, in his mouth, in other words, Chayev, then he would be Chayev another one because he carried on Shabbos. Tosfos explains that we're talking about, in other words, that Rameyer holds that Rameyer would argue that when you swallow it, that's considered the Hanocha. We know that for Shabbos to be over on the issue of carrying on Shabbos, you have to have Akira and you have to have Hanocha. So Rameyer is going to say, fine, you had Akira to begin with, you carried it outside in your mouth. And then you swallow it, that's considered the Hanukkah. That's placing it down. So the mayor argues, therefore, I have another one that you'd be chayav on. You'd be chayav another chatas for that. Rashi explains, by the way, the reason why the mayor has to specify Shabbos, Rashi says, is because the mayor holds that carrying a Yom Kippur is not a chiyuv chatas. He holds that the concept of carrying outside only applies on Shabbos, not on Yom Kippur. The Chachamim disagree with him, and of course, the Halacha is like the Chachamim. Tosfos says,
you're right, not carrying on.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, Tosfos points out that the Gemara in Chrysos there says that everybody agrees to that. Even the Gemara tries that as a possibility that maybe the mayor doesn't hold a Hoitzah by Yom Kippur. The Gemara slugs that up there. So therefore, Tosfos just says it says Shabbos in order to mention that it's even more severe. It's true. The mayor would hold the same thing would apply even if it was just plain old Yom Kippur on a weekday. Anyway, Amrulai, the Chachamim say, fine, we agree with your basic concept. However, Enei Min Hashem, however, that's not considered part of the category. We're talking about eating. You mentioned carrying. That's a different kind of thing. Now, the reason why we're bringing this up, how does this contradict Rava's statement before? The Im Issa, if you're going to tell me that we hold when it comes to Shavuot, if Issa Kolo, Mashkachat Lachomesh, then you can have a fifth chatas that the guy should have to bring.
If what?
If you're going to say there's Issur Kolo, and therefore that a person can make a Shavua and ask for something which already was asked to him, in that case, I can find you a fifth. In that case, I can find you a fifth Chatas. So Rav Meir is trying to find a fifth Chatas, and the Chachamim are telling him we're not counting that because we're only talking about eating, but I can find you a fifth one that relates directly to the eating. Suppose the person said a Shavua that I won't eat dates, which are mutter, or chelev, which is asur. And since the Shavua is able to be chal on the dates, which otherwise would have been mutter, then it's also able, according to you, Rava, to be chal on the chaylev as well.
Through
Issur Kolo. So therefore, you should have there, then you have five examples over here. So you have the guy with a tummy who ate chaylev, which is noiser from Mukdashin on Yom Kippur, and he made a Shavua not to eat things that include chaylev. Why didn't the Mishnah list that? Tosfos again points out over here again in order to deal with the lav and hain problem that the way he could do that, now in the face of it, chaylev is also happening to do a hain with it. So again, either we're talking about generically that he said that he's not going to eat, or it means that when it says chaylev, he's able to fulfill it by eating chaylev that is mutter. There are certain types of chaylev that in some there are certain types of chaylev, even a domestic animal, that there was a minhag hamakomis. In those days, there was a difference in minhagim between Eretz Yisrael and Babel, whether a certain type of chaylev was allowed or not, on a certain part of the stomach.
Wait, Babel?
And in Babel, I think in Babel, they asked it in Eretz Yisrael. They were master it, I don't remember exactly, but in the Cholim we'll learn about it. That's Hashem, but that's one example. The other possibility is you could be eating chelev of a wild animal, such as a deer, which is mutter, or the chelev of a deer or any other wild animal is mutter. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so back to the question then. So why did the Mishnah list that as a fifth possible chatas? The answer is ki katani yisro abam elav, because the Mishnah is only listing yisurim that come on their own, yisurim that come automatically. Yisro abam atzma lekatani. It's true. You could have a fifth chatas in that case, but the Mishnah is not bothering to list a case where the Isser is brought about by you, where you made a shavua.
Add anything.
Now, it doesn't add anything. The Mishnah could have added it, but it didn't bother. It didn't bother because
what?
No, that's the point. So it's not a contradiction to Rava because the Mishnah is just not bothering to list another category of carbon where the issue comes about through you. Okay. The question is about a hektish. What about you mentioned hektish? That's something that you brought about you declared it a carbon. The answer is b'chor. Yes, but the hektish that we're talking about over here is not regular kodshim where you designated the animal as carbon, but rather a b'chor, which is born already kodesh. So it's b'ma elam. Or another possibility, I can give you a different answer why the Mishnah did not mention the case where he made it also to himself with a shavua, because ki katani, because the Mishnah is only talking about midi de lasle she'ela. The Mishnah is only listing things where you're not able to be matur neder. Shavua de isle she'ela le katani. So shavua is something you could always go and be matur neder, matur shavua. Therefore, the Mishnah doesn't list it because not necessarily that you're going to end up bringing a korban for having broken your shavua. You could go to a rav and be matur it, and therefore you never end up bringing a korban for it in the first place. The Mishnah is only listing things where it's inevitable that you're going to bring your hatoris and your asham because no matter what, Torah asked it and there's no way to be matur it. Okay, again, the question can be asked, are hektish? Again, the same question about hektish. That's something you can be matur neder on. We learned back in the Dorim that Mishramai holds that not. The halach is not like Mishramai, as it usually isn't. The answer is, whole committed in b'chor. Well, we just said it's talking about a b'chor, and therefore a b'chor. There's no she'ela because you didn't make it hektish. It became hektish. It became kodshim as soon as it was born.
It has to be hektish because you did it.
Right. That's only the kind that you could be matur neder on, right? You can't be matur neder on a b'chor because there was no neder or shvur in the first place. Iboisema, or yet another possibility, ki katoni korban kavua. You might also say another reason why that Mishnah did not list the case of the shvur, because the Mishnah is only listing cases where you have to bring a fixed value korban. Korban ola v'yored, like katoni. Mishnah would not be listing the shvur, where we're talking about that you bring a korban ola v'yored, a variable value carbon, depending on whether you can afford an animal or two birds or whatever it is. Shavua and Tumas Mitzvah Shekadshav, you bring carbon over the yard. So therefore, the Mishnah might be saying, Arba Hataris for Asham Echad, meaning four fixed value Hataris plus one Asham. Yes, there could also be a case if there's a Shavua involved where you bring a carbon over the yard as well. But the Mishnah is not listing it. Again, the question is, Hari Tomei Sha'achol Sakodesh, the carbon over the yard. How about though, one of the cases we mentioned is that the Tomei ate Kodshim, and a Tomei, we touch him, is also a korban of the yerid. That's the Yediyas HaTshuva that we talk about in the first two prokim, the korban of the yerid. The answer is Benossi for double Yezid. That Mishnah is talking about specifically where it was a Nossi, meaning a king who did this, and that Mishnah would be going, according to double Yezid, Dama Nossi may be so. Double Yezid says like this. The Torah tells us, usually, when a person has to bring a chatas for being over on anything where the mezer is karis, then for showing you to bring the chatas, an ordinary person brings a female animal as chatas, either a female sheep or a female goat. A king is an exception to that, he brings a male goat.
You mentioned that.
We've talked about that before. In the typical case, a person eats, never mind all of this elaborate scenario. In a plain old example, a person eats chaylev b'shogeg, for example. If he was a commoner, he would bring a female sheep or goat as a korban. If he's a king, he brings a male goat. We'll discuss it more in Hodesh, that's the shame. Now, What about you take the case where a person becomes chayiv and a korban over the yerid? Again, you have the various cases. You have tumas mitzvah shakotcha. You have the case of shavuos vitui, which we're dealing with in our parak. You have shavuos edus, which we're going to deal with in the next parak. What about, does a king, now for a korban over the yerid, if a person can afford it, he brings a female sheep or female goat, same as a regular chatas. What about a king? Does he bring a male one instead or not? Rabbi Eliezer holds that specifically when it comes to Tumas Mitzvah Kodesh, Rabbi Eliezer says that a Nasi brings a Sorer as well. The same exception that exists by him by a regular Chatas also exists by a Korban Ola V'Yored, but only when it comes to Tumas Mitzvah Kodesh. The reason for that being, the Gemara explains, and Rashi brings it over here, the Gemara explains in Hodeas, that when it comes to Shavuot Eidos and when it comes to Shavuot Vidjuri, there's no Kodesh if you do it with Mase. So that's a whole different category. Rabbi Eliezer will agree over there, therefore, Shavuot Vitri, if a person violates the Shavuot Vitri, there's Malchus. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer will agree that a king is just like everybody else. He brings he can afford the top level of a carbon out of the yard, but fine, it's a female animal just like anybody else would. only when it comes to Tumas Nefesh V'Kadosha, where really that ought to be a regular, really that ought to be a regular chatos. Come on. Really that ought to be a regular chatos. The Torah made a distinction and instead put on him a korban over the yom. But basically, it would fit the criteria for a chatos because it is chayav chares if he does it for me. Rabbi Eliezer, therefore, will hold that when it comes to a king, it will be treated like a regular chatos. A regular chatos, he brings a male instead of a female, so it will be over here also. As opposed to the Chachamim would say that it would be a regular carbon. So therefore, so Rabbi Eliezer, in effect, is saying that in this case, we exempt the Nazi from the carbon of the yerid and make him bring his regular chatos. Well, very well. Our Mishnah that we said before, these high four chatoris and one asham, and none of them are variable value. That works only according to Rabbi Eliezer if it's a king, because then he's bringing a fixed value chatos, the same fixed value chatos that he would bring for any other thing that would be high carbon, the maize. Again, so therefore, we can say that, so this Mishnah is not mentioned about the Yesh Oichel Achila Achas, is not talking about where, is not dealing with the case, with the matter of the Shvuah, because that for anybody, king or commoner, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, would we bring the Korban or the Yerid? Even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that the king brings the female animal in that case. So therefore, the Mishnah is not listing it. The Mishnah is only listing ones where he brings a fixed value Chathas, the same type of Chathas as he would bring for any other Amen.
And that fixed value would be, in which case?
So for the Tumas Nefesh V'Kadosha, Rabbi Eliezer would say, a king will bring a fixed value chatos. Okay. Rav Ashi, Yama, ki katoni midi d'chayla kashir. Another answer is that the Mishnah there is only listing things where you need a certain minimum shear to be chayim. Each of the things that we mentioned, a tome eating kachim, eating chaylev, eating noiser, on Yom Kippur, each of them has a minimum shear. Actually, Yom Kippur is not really a kezayis. Yom Kippur is a little more, kesefes, so the size of a day. But still, the point is there is a minimum shear. Shvur, chayla, pochas, mikashir, like a sonny. Shvur is able to be chal on less than the shear, as we discussed at the beginning of the parak. If the person is mefarish, if the person explicitly says, I'm making my shvur on less than a kezayis,
we don't include it in the Mishnah.
That, therefore, the Mishnah is not including it, because the Mishnah is only including things we need a certain minimum shear to be chayim. In fact, actually, there's an interesting thing. Rabbi Akiva Eger wants to say, I think it's Rabbi Akiva Eger, wants to say that maybe when we said earlier in the parak that a person makes a shavua of less than a shear, and they eat less, and they eat less than the shear, they're mafarish. We say they're chayav for breaking their shavua. He wants to say that actually, if the person did end up eating the full shear, let's say a chaylev, for example, he wouldn't be chayav for his shavua anymore. Now he's only chayav for the isur of chaylev and whatever other isurim came in with it, because then you can't say shavua can't be chal on a kazayas or more, because that's already mushba v'ayin Har Sinai. He's already be sworn from Har Sinai not to eat that amount.
So
therefore, it would only be if he eats less than a kezayis, would he be chayav, but not if he eats kezayis or more. Okay, so the question is, hare hektish, what about though hektish? We mentioned hektish among it, and hektish has a minute. We mentioned among the four hataris and the osham that he brings is that this was kodshim, and we said he's chayav a korban from Mi'ilah. Mi'ilah has a certain minimum amount.
Why is Mishnah doesn't list it?
No, why is the Mishnah listing it if you're telling me the Mishnah is not listing things that apply to less than a kezayis? Okay. Hektish, you can eat less than a kezayis, and you're still chayav for a korban meila.
Right.
The answer is halvarin and shava prota. Okay, you do have a minimum shear for hektish. It just doesn't happen to be the same as the other one. The shava prota, it's a monetary value rather than a size, but still, you still have it. Okay. Ravashi me Aviria. Then Ravashi from Aviria, which is the name of a place, says this is a different Ravashi. I've mentioned, by the way, a few times, the famous thing that the Rogachova once said in connection with the whole controversy over the forged Yerushalmi Kodshim, that he said every genuine Masechta has one Amora that's not mentioned anywhere else. This seems to be the one for sure. It's Ravashi me Aviria is not mentioned anywhere else in chat, as far as I found. Anyway, so he said Amora. No idea. Someplace in Eretz Yisrael, someplace in Bavel, someplace, no idea. Maybe someplace up in the Avir, in the air. I don't know. Okay. Ravashi me'avir yama. Ravashi me'avir omer Rav Zera. He says in the name of Rav Zera, another answer. Ki katani zonei kodesh. Because the Mishnah over there, again, about the four chatoris in the Oshem, is only listing cases where had he done each of these things with mazid, he would be chayav kodesh. Therefore, we're showing you he'd bring the chatoris. Zonei lav, like katani. He's not listing things where the maximum penalty for them is a lav, is malchus. A person is over on a shavua, there's no kares. The maximum penalty for being over on a shavua is malchus. Therefore, the mission is not listing it. Okay, the question is, what about the osham from Ila? where the maximum penalty from Ila, if you do it with Mace, it is also a is also Malchus. Rashi brings over here a Machlokas that we had in Sanhedrin, whether a person does Me'ila B'Mase. There is an opinion. Rebbe holds because this would be Shemayim. The Chachamim hold, though, that it's only a lot because Malchus. The Halacha, of course, is like the Chachamim. So, and we see that it's listed. So therefore, you see the Mishnah is listing things where the maximum penalty is allowed. Then says the Chatos, Tamrin, and yes, but we're talking about within the Chatos, we're only listing things where if you were to do the thing with Mazid, you'd be high of cards. Which in general, that's generally the criteria for something. Not things that, when it comes to the Osham, that's different. Osham is a different category. But within the Chatos, we only want to list things that if you were to do the Mazid, you'd be high of cards. Which is most Chatos, by the way. The general rule for a Chatos is you're only high of it for something that if you did Mazid, you'd be high of cards. These things that we're mentioning, the Korban Oil of Yerid, in particular Shavuot Vitri, Shavuot Eidos, are really an exception to that rule. That we're saying that you bring a Korban for them, even though they're not high of Korban, it's amazing.
And that's because?
That's what the Torah says. That's what the Torah says, that the Tumas Mefesh Vakotchev, you have to bring a Korban. Well, there you are, high of Korban, it's amazing, fine. But that for Shavuot Vitri and Shavuot Eidos, the Torah imposes a Korban. Without there being Korban, it's amazing. Ravina Amar, Ravina says yet another answer. Ki katani, when the Mishnah is listing things in this Mishnah, again about the four Hataris and the Asham, is only listing ki katani midi de chayil and midi de barachilahu. It's only listing things that are only able to be chal on something edible. Shvur de chayil, things that are only able to be chal on something that's edible. Shvur de chayil and midi de la barachilahu, whereas a shvur is able to be chal even on something inedible, loy katani, then it doesn't list it. As we said before, a person could make a shvur, for example, that I won't eat dirt, and he eats dirt, and he chayiv. Yeah, a person can make a shvur even, anything, yeah. So the question is, are hektish de chayil nama eitz ba'avadim? Okay, but hektish is also able to be chal on wood or stones.
That's true.
So Tosafos points out that actually the Gemara could have just answered very simply. We already said we're talking about a specific type of hektish. We're talking about bechor. But nevertheless, instead the Gemara uses a different answer. Ela ki katani midi dechayel am midi deispe mishasha. No, rather what we can say is the Mishnah is talking about only things that can only be chal on something that have substance, something tangible. Shvur dechayel am midi deispe mishasha. A shvur is able to be chal, as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, on things that are intangible. To go into Ishan, Rashula Ishan, for example, a person can make sure that I will sleep or that I won't sleep. Loi Katani, we're not listing that kind of thing. Hektish, you need something tangible. Even if we argue the hektish over here is a bechor, or whatever kind of hektish is, it's something tangible. You can't say, for example, I'm making my sleep hektish.
Can you try making the air around the fish?
No.
How could you?
So you can't. No.
You put it in a balloon and you say this air is.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe. Okay, I don't know. But anyway, you could argue, okay, when we say midi yisbe mishasha, do we mean that it's tangible, that you can actually feel it with your fingers, or do we mean that it's something that you could put under a microscope or whatever, sleep, you can't learn it, but the point is, okay, so it's not listing it, because again, it's a whole different category of things. Okay. Which brings us to our next Mishnah. Echad dvarim shal asmai. When we say that a person can make a shvur, that applies whether things of his own. The echad dvarim shalachayim, or a person can make a shavua about something that has to do with somebody else. For example, as the Mishnah is going to go on to say that he can make a shavua that I will or won't give to somebody.
Yeah.
A person can make a shavua that I will give something to Pliny or that I won't give something to Pliny, or that I did or that I didn't. So it can apply to himself or to others. The echad dvarim sheyesh ben mamish, the echad dvarim sheyin ben mamish. It also applies whether the thing is tangible or not. Ketzad. Then a person can make a shavua that I will give something to Pliny, or that I won't give to Pliny, or shenasati v'shaloi nasati, or we can make a shavua that I gave him or that I didn't give him.
That's
what do you mean? I made a shavua. I'm swearing that I gave him something, or I'm swearing that I didn't give him something. And if it turns out that it was false, then he's going to be, again, if it was b'mezid, he's going to be chayav malchus, and if it was b'shogeg, he's going to be bringing a korban.
When you say I'm going to give something, is there a time limit to it?
Well, if he just said generically that I'm going to give, then no, there's not necessarily a time limit. Yeah, typically, a person might say that I'll give him within X amount of time or whatever. But yeah, you're right. If he were to just say generically a shavua that I'll give him something, then yeah, conceivably you could give it to him 50 years later, I guess. Yeah. Okay. What about also, for example, she'ishan v'shalo yishan? A person can make a shavua that I will sleep or that I won't sleep. Shiyashanti Vishala Yashanti, or we can make a sure that I did sleep within the last X amount of time or that I didn't sleep. And all of those are valid shvuos, and again, if it turns out to be false, then he's going to be chayim. She'ezrik tzur liyam v'shalo yezrik. He can also make a shvuah that I will throw a rock into the sea, or that I won't throw it. She'zarakti v'shalo zarakti, or that I did throw it, or I didn't throw it. Now, this part is not so simple. Rabbi Shmuel, ma'ein chayev el ala osiv lavi. Rabbi Shmuel says that a person is only chayev a korban for something yet to happen. So according to him, for example, shavua that I will eat or that I won't, or that I will sleep or I won't sleep or I will throw a rock or I won't throw a rock or whatever, that he'd be chayav a korban. But not for the past, right. Because the pasuk says to do good or to do bad, meaning something that he has the capability of doing good or doing bad, not something that already happened, where it's already beyond his capability to change the past. By your logic, by your logic, then, if you're limiting it explicitly to what it says in the pasuk only mentions lahara elayim, to do bad or to do good, then you should argue then it should only mean things where there's hara v'atava, only things where there's a good or a bad in it. Where do you get to include, let's say, for example, something where there's no hana in it? For example, you agree, Rabbi Shmuel, that the person says a shvur that I will throw a rock into the ocean, then he's obligated to throw a rock into the ocean, and if not, then he's over on a shvur. Why? There's no hana involved in that. That's not a lahara ilahitiv, that's a neutral thing. If you're limiting it to what it says in the positive, then you should exclude that case also. So Rabbi Shmuel tells him, I get it from a ribui, because the pasuk continues, v'chol asher yivase, the pasuk continues, anything that a person might speak. So therefore, that includes also that kind of thing, where there's no lahara elahitiv, where it's just neutral.
But he's saying he's getting lahara elahitiv just as an example of what's going to happen.
That's Rabbi Shmuel is arguing that since it says lahara elahitiv, it means it has to be something that he's capable of doing bad or capable of doing good. He's capable of, a person is capable, for example, of doing a lahara, of starving himself, therefore he's able to make a shvur that I won't eat. A person is able, lahetiv, to do good to himself, therefore he's able to say, I will eat. But Rabbi Shmuel is arguing, a person can't make a shvur that he says, I did eat, that's already in the past, it's not something that he has control over. Therefore that wouldn't be the kind of shvur you bring a carbon for.
I can see in the future, accomplishing something what's the point of the past?
That's not the question. What the point is, the person is capable of making such a shvur. Rabbi Shmuel just holds though that you're not going to be chayev a korban if it turns out that such a shvur was false. So Rabbi Akiva is arguing to him that if you, by your logic, you might as well just say that it's limited exclusively to lahara elahitiv, as the pasuk says. It doesn't include any other kind of shvur, so therefore it doesn't include a shvur that I'll throw a rock into the ocean, because that's not lahara or elahitiv. And Rabbi Shmuel answers, I get it from a ribui, because the pasuk continues lahara elahitiv. Machal sheyivate, anything that a person might speak out. So therefore, it includes also anything like that, like throwing a rock. It's added by the Chol HaShayivate. The Gemara is going to later on discuss the underlying machlokas between them. It has to do how we darshan ribuyim and in the pasuk. We'll deal with that later on. The point is, Rabbi Akiva answers him, fine, once you're including throwing a rock, which is not under the category of lahara elahitiv, by the same logic, you can also include the past, which is also not considered under lahara elahitiv. So Rabbi Shmuel obviously disagrees with that. He maintains his opinion for reasons that we'll see in the Gemara.
That you can't include the past,
but he does agree that you can include throwing a rock. Okay, so the Gemara starts off, you have a certain chumrah in nedarim over shavuos. There's certain ways and there's certain things that nedarim can apply to, but shavuos cannot. And certain things in which a shavuah can apply, but a neder cannot. A chumrah in nedarim is that they're able to be chal on a dvar mitzvah, just like a dvar harashus, mashenkin b'shavuos, as opposed to a shavuah. So a person can say, for example, a neder that a sukkah is also for me to make or to sit in, whatever, and therefore, and that works. And that works, because what he's doing is, again, we've discussed before the idea, first of all, there's no mitzvah on the sukkah for him to sit in it. The mitzvah is for him to sit in a sukkah. And like this, the sukkah is now also to him. And you have a concept, ein machil ma'adam davar, also. You can't force a person to eat or to use something which is also to him. So therefore, it's also to him. That's it. It's off limits to him. It's the equivalent. There's no sukkah. And
he's
mushba min atara, but the sukkah is not mushba min atara.
So that's the sukkah or another sukkah?
Well, if he says generically any sukkah, what it means is, in other words, now every sukkah in the world is now also to him. Therefore, there's no way to make him be able to sit in a sukkah, because all sukkahs in the world are also to him, and you can't make a person eat or use something which is also to him. In effect, it's as if, as far as he's concerned, there don't exist any sukkahs in the world.
Therefore,
such a thing works.
So you could say the same about tefillin, he's never going to put on tefillin.
If he were to say that tefillin is also to me, then yes.
And it would still be chal.
It would be chal. We're not saying he'd have to, we would make him go and be matzah neder. We're based and would deal with him and make him, but as long as the neder is in effect.
And yes, a few pages ago we said that he cannot.
That's a shavua. Mashen can be shavua, as opposed to shavua, because the shavua is on you. What?
This would be a neder.
This is what we talk about as a neder. He says that a sukkahs are also for me to make or to sit. The neder is called on the object, on the sukkah, as opposed to if he says I am asking myself to sit in the sukkah. You can't do that. You're told by Hashem to sit in the sukkah on sukkahs.
But you just said that if he says it on one sukkah, yes, but if he can also say it on any sukkah. And that is like a shvuah. What's the difference?
No, because it means all the sukkahs that exist in the world.
So it's like a shvuah.
No. Because one refers to him and one refers to the sukkah. Yeah. Tosfos discusses a little bit of the ins and outs over here. Tosfos says that technically, actually, we'll learn later on in the parak, there is actually technically a way in which a shvuah is able to be chal on such a thing also. However, Tosfos gives a number of answers that a neder is always able to happen. A shvur, you need a specific way of phrasing it. So Tosfos says, let's say for example, you have an example of a person were to say, sitting in a sukkah is also to me by a shvur. So such a thing works. But
what do you call it?
Sometimes that Tosfos discusses is that really actually you can argue it's maybe only gather. You can argue it's not really a true shvur. It's really a shvur disguised as a neder disguised as a shvur, whatever. So therefore, it's able to be chal. But a plain old shvur, a shvur that I won't sit in the sukkah, is not chal. As opposed to a neder, the sukkah is also for me to sit in, would be chal. That's a chumra in nedarim of shvur.
My question is more like, a neder on every category of one, every object of one category is like a shvur practically.
No, but maybe practically, but it isn't. One is on the object, one is on the person. Okay,
if the object includes all the objects.
Doesn't matter. Right? In the end, it comes out the same thing, but there are differences. One of the differences, again, being that one is able to be chal and the other is not. Another difference, again, a person is over on his neder, he's not chayv a korban. A person is over on his shvur, b'shoyv is that, he's chayv a korban. Chayv a b'shvur, then you have a chumra on the other hand with shvur. Shashvur is cholos al davar she'in bein mamish, k'davar she'esh bein mamish. A shvur can be chal on something intangible, just like something tangible, like we said in our Mishnah. Mashen can be a dorim as opposed to a neder. A person can't make a neder, for example, sleep is also to me, because sleep is something intangible. What he can say is, for example, my eye, which is eye, is something tangible, is also to sleep.
Medically, sleep is very, very tangible.
You can't put it under a microscope. Come on, it's not something that...
You can put it in many, many ways.
No, come on. The fact is, sleep is something that you do, of course, but it's not something that you can touch. It's not something that you can... It's not tangible. It's something... The effect of it is tangible, but the sleep itself is intangible. So therefore, again, if a person were to make a neder, sleep is also to me, that doesn't mean anything. If a person were to make a neder, my eyes are also to sleep, that's valid. Shvur, as a person can say, a shvur that I won't sleep, and that's valid.
But not a neder,
right. Okay, case study, we said in the Mishnah, what's an example? I'm a shvur she'etzen l'pliny v'shalayetzen. We gave an example, a person says, I will give to Pliny or I won't give to Pliny. Then we said that's a valid shvur. So my etzen, what do we mean, I will give? What does he mean? I won't give. Elaim a tzedakah l'ani. Are we talking about that there's an ani here, and he's saying I will or I won't give him? can't mush bavarim in Maharas Sinai. Well, again, it doesn't work because either you're swearing to break a mitzvah or you're swearing to fulfill a mitzvah, and either way, it doesn't work.
Was
to give or not to give.
How much to give?
Right, but if you said not to give, then if you give any amount, then you're being over on your shvuah. Yeah. The answer is shenema not sentit in life, the pasuk says you should definitely give it. Elamaton al asher. No, we're talking about, let's say, for example, he's saying, I will or I won't give a present to a rich person. And the Mephoshim said it doesn't literally need to mean a rich person. It could also include, for example, a poor person, indeed, where you're saying, let's say, that I won't give him some huge amount, which is more than would be the usual amount to give him a tzedakah, or whatever, different details like that. The point is, not where it impinges on the mitzvah of tzedakah.
He
would be like an oni temporarily. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. What about Ishan v'chodesh v'shalo Ishan? The person makes a shavur that I will sleep or I won't sleep. So we said in the Mishnah that's a valid shavur. So the question is, Aini, is that so? That a person can make a shavur that I won't sleep and that's a valid shavur? V'amar v'yechon, v'am a shavur shalo Ishan gimo yom. A person says a shavur that I won't sleep for 3 days. Malkinos, and that's impossible. We don't say that we should make him stay up as long as possible, and then once he falls asleep, then we'll give him Malkus for being over on a Shavua. No, Malkinos, if Yashama also, we give him Malkus right away for making a Shavua Shav, that's an impossible Shavua, and then he can sleep right away. So our Mishnah is saying that a Shavua that I won't sleep is valid, but we see from this that a Shavua generically that I won't sleep is not valid. The answer is Hasan, the Amar Gimel. That case of Rabbi Yechanan is where we explicitly said 3 days. Hasan, the Amar Gimel. Here he didn't say 3 days. So different Rishonim talk about, does it mean therefore that he said generically I won't sleep means we understand him to mean I won't sleep for a day or 2 days or whatever's possible, not that he meant to say I won't sleep forever. Or is it that we mean that in our Mishnah he said that I won't sleep and he mentioned a certain period of time, less than 3 days. Whatever the case, that's a valid shvur because it is something that's possible to do. But if he had said three days or not, then it wouldn't work. Okay.
So the one who says 3 days then gets mocked.
Then he gets Malkus, right?
It's impossible.
Exactly.
You can be Matur Ned, it would have hurt Shavuot.
You can be Matur Shavuot, sure.
Why are they Malkus Malkus and then
Matur? Because he didn't ask to be Matur Ned. If he's Matur Ned, then fine, he'll be able to. But like this, he made a Shavuot Shav, because he made a Shavuot. It's impossible to go 3 full days without sleeping.
When you say
Shavuot,
you say
Hashem's
name, you
say Shavuot. That you have a machloikas on, whether it has to be that he actually use Hashem's name, or is it enough to...
Is there ever sleeping for 3 days?
If we're saying over here it's impossible that Eber still a human, that Eber was still a human being. He went without a lot of sleep, it's true, but he still slept. You know, you might have, you know, you cat-napped 5 minutes here or there or whatever. The Gemara tells us in Sukkah, actually, it actually mentions this concept. The Gemara tells us in Sukkah, Rabbi Yeshua describes over there how when the Smithers were standing, they didn't get any sleep during Sukkot, because they're busy going from one thing to the next, from the Karbonus to learning Torah, and the Simchat Beis HaSheva, and this and that and the other. So they went through the entire Sukkot, and the Gemara asks, what do you mean? You say over here you can't go 3 days without sleeping. And the answer is they would sort of cat-nap on each other's shoulders during Simchat Beis HaSheva. So they did. That's possible to do. But to go completely without sleep for 3 full days, for 72 hours, not possible.
Because
of the Shiva Shana, that's true, yeah. Indeed. Yeah. Okay. Another case. Ezra throw the Yam Shalai Ezra. We have an addition of the case where the person says a shvur that I will throw a rock into the ocean or I won't throw a rock into the ocean. So what now a little. We said that that's a valid shvur according to Rabbi Akiva, but not according to Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, Itmar. So now we have a discussion about a related question. What about shvur shezorak pliny tzur leyam b'shalay zorak? What if I make a shvur that you threw a rock into the ocean, or you didn't throw a rock into the ocean? Is such a thing considered a shvur that you would be chayev korban for shvur spitzer? It is a path. Fine. We're talking according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds the path. But still, Rav says he's chayev korban, and Shmuel says he's potter. Rav amachayev because isay b'lav v'hein, because there is b'lav and v'hein possible. You're able to make a shavua, the positive or the negative, that he did throw the rock or that he didn't throw the rock. Therefore, it's like any other shavua in the past. It's a valid shavua. Or Shmuel amachayev less say b'lav v'hein. Shmuel says he's potter because such a shavua, yes, you're able to make such a shavua about the past. You're not able to make a shavua about the future. You can't make a shavua that Pliny will throw a rock or won't throw a rock. That would be a shavua shav. How do you control him to make him throw the rock or not throw the rock? Therefore, Shmuel argues that Rishu was Shav. Yeah, the Rambam actually writes on it. The Rambam says it's not necessarily a Shavuot Shav. You're not necessarily going to give him malchus for it. If the other guy does end up doing what you said, throw the rock or doesn't throw the rock, then fine. You won't have committed a Shavuot Shav. But you have no control over it, so therefore it's not
Shav. So how can Rav disagree with that?
No, so what Rav is saying, it doesn't matter whether you have control or not. Rav says the fact that you can have hain and lav is enough. Shmuel says it has to be something where you could have l'sha'over and l'haba. And l'haba, you don't have it because you don't control. So therefore, again, according to Rashi, it would come out, you would get malchus for Shmuel Shav. According to the Rambam, not necessarily. If the other guy ends up doing the opposite of what he said, you will be chayav for Shmuel Shav. But if not, if he goes ahead and then cooperates with you, then you won't be chayav. Okay.
Shmuel says I'm the person. In other words, he doesn't have to fulfill that.
No, Potter, we're talking about from a korban.
It's a short
shot. It'll be chayav malchus for it, according to Rashi. And according to the Rambam, the other guy didn't cooperate. When we say potter, we mean that if it was b'shogeg, he would be potter from a korban. Whereas Rav says, if it was b'shogeg, he'd be chayav a korban. Chayav meaning chayav a korban. When he realizes that what he did was wrong, that Pliny did throw a rock, and it turns out Pliny did not throw a rock, Rav says he will now have to bring a korban for having made a false shvuah.
At that point,
once he realizes that the facts were the opposite of what he had sworn to. And Shmuel says he's potter. Because if he were to make such a shvuah l'haba, then it would be a shvuah shav. Therefore, Shmuel holds that even l'shava, you can't really consider it a regular kind of shvuah. Because Shmuel is saying, that's what we're going to discuss on the basis of our Mishnah, that Shmuel holds that in order for Shavua to be valid, in order for Shavua on the past to be valid, it has to be the kind of Shavua which you could equally well make for the future. You can't make such a Shavua for the future because not in your control. So therefore, on the past, it's also. Rav Amachayev Isay V'Lav V'Hain. So again, Rav says it's Yuchayev a Korban if it was B'Shogig because there is Lav and Hain involved. Could make a shavua that the guy did throw the rock. You can also make a shavua that the guy did not throw the rock.
That's his only condition.
Yeah. Well, Shmuel on a potter, let's say, but lahaba. Shmuel says it's potter because there's no lahaba, because you can't make a shavua that Pliny will throw a rock. That's not a shavua's nature. The question is, should we say that Rav and Shmuel are arguing the same machlokas as Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in our mission? We said that Rabbi Shmuel says you're only chayav for a shvur in the future. Because the pasuk talks about the future. In that case, by your logic, the pasuk should only the din should only apply. The korban should only apply to things where there could be hara v'atava, only things where it is bad or good. But only things that are the future that have to do with bad or good, that have to do with something positive or something negative. Where do you see it would also apply to throwing a rock into the ocean, which is a mutual thing? And Mishmal answers him, I get it from a ribuy in the pasuk, because the pasuk continues. And Rabbi Akiva tells him, in that case, if you're being Marveh, also the case of throwing a rock, you can also be Marveh the past. Well, should we say Rav to Amar to Rabbi Akiva? Should we say that Rav, who holds you can be Chayev for a Shvur about the past, that Pliny threw a rock into the ocean, he would be like Rabbi Akiva? Or Shmuel to Amar to Rabbi Shmuel? And Shmuel, who says you can't be Chayev for the same, would be like Rabbi Shmuel. The problem with that is, first of all, we shouldn't assume that Amaroyim are arguing on the same machlokes as the Tanoim. They all knew the Mishnayos. No reason for them to argue about it again. And second of all, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Why would Shmuel be arguing according to our opinion that the halacha is not like? The answer is no. I'll live with Rabbi Shmuel kol amale pliki. No. Within Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, everybody agrees it's true. Rabbi Shmuel is going to say you're being mechayev only lahaba. So therefore, of course, both Rav and Shmuel would agree that Rabbi Shmuel wouldn't hold that you'd be chayev for such a shavur in the first place. Because Rabbi Shmuel, right, in his opinion, would say that indeed, a case like this, where you made a shvur that Pliny threw a rock into the ocean, yes, Rabbi Shmuel would hold that's not the kind of shvur that you bring a korban for. And we can prove that. Hashta milsa de isi b'la habalim chayiv ala Rabbi Shmuel, madach, something which is possible to be done in the future, namely that, we said, for example, in the Mishnah, that the person makes a shvur that I will sleep or I won't sleep, and Rabbi Shmuel says that's valid, you bring a korban if it was wrong, but you don't bring it for the past, even though that's something that you have full control over, whether you're going to sleep or whether you're not going to sleep. And yet Rabbi Shmuel is not machayev on it if it was about the past. Milta the lesser b'la'habamibaya. How much more so do you need to say that Rabbi Shmuel would say it doesn't apply to a shvur, which has two strikes against it? Number one, that it's l'sha'aver, it's in the past. And number two, that you don't even have control over whether it happens in the future. For sure, Rabbi Shmuel would say that's not considered the kind of shvur you bring a carbon for. So forget about Rabbi Shmuel. Neither Rav or Shmuel are talking according to Rabbi Shmuel. Their machlokas is within Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Rav to Rabbi Akiva. So Rav is just throwing straight out like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says it doesn't matter, la'ava or la'asid, as long as it's la'av v'heim, then you're good. Or Shmuel, I'm aware, Shmuel argues like this. Ad kama mechayev Rabbi Akiva hasam l'sha'ava, you know why Rabbi Akiva is mechayev in the case of our Mishnah, that I will or won't sleep, or whatever, or that I did or didn't sleep, l'sha'ava, in the past, elamilsa v'isiv l'haba. When you have something where he has control of it, he has something that he has control of it in the future, namely whether to sleep or whether not to sleep, then Rabbi Akiva holds he can also make such a shvur about the past, that I did sleep or I didn't sleep.
If you have control over the future, according to Rabbi Akiva, then
automatically it works for the past as well.
It doesn't make sense, but...
No, that's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. We're marveled from the past. Because Lahorai Lahit, if you're able to do bad by not sleeping, you're able to do, which is the future, you're able to do good by sleeping. Therefore, we can also include by a ribui from the pasuk Lahor Shayimate, we can also include where the person says in the past I slept or I didn't sleep. Have a midi, but something where you don't have control, Lahorai Lahitiv, you don't have control whether to do bad or to do good, because the other person and you don't control them. Like, then Rabbi Akiva might say that such a thing is not considered a shavuos bitter.
Meaning strictly on the past without the future that you cannot do.
Where it's only something that you're capable of making a shavuos about the past, that you're not capable of making a shavuos bitter on the future because you don't control whether it's going to happen or not. Okay. Shmuel argues Rabbi Akiva might say that doesn't.
So we can only argue within
Rabbi Akiva's opinion. That you never have a shvur la hashlo sha'avar is never considered a shvur bitteri. Right, then there's nothing, of course, there's nothing to talk about. Interesting, by the way, interesting side thing over here. You have the last Tosfos here on the Omud brings a question on this thing that we're saying that we want to say that Rav goes according to Rabbi Akiva. That Rav goes like Rabbi Akiva. The only reason I'm mentioning that Tosfos is because look at the first line of it. Interesting. Who asked the question? Picture a Rav Ezra Hanavi asked the following question. He's one of the Balei Tosfos, but it's interesting that he has the title Hanavi. This is long after Nevuah starts. So we find that the Rambam mentions in Igeres Teimon, he's explaining to them about you have to keep on looking forward to Mashiach and don't give up hope, etc. And he brings over there a thing that he had by tradition from his ancestors that in a certain year, which turned out to be 11 years after he passed away, about Nevuah will return to the Jewish people. And then everyone's talked about it, and mentioned that you have, for example, around that time you had Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, who had a tremendous level of Ruach HaKodesh approaching Nebuah, and you have another example, which is Rabbi Ezra HaNavi over here from Tosfos. So you need it. So was it real Nebuah? Was it real 100% full-fledged Nebuah?
Yeah. It doesn't matter that they feel that they have a Nebuah, they are supposed to...
That's a good question. If they were to hide it, would they be hide Misa for Kovish Nevoah? So it's a good question. I don't know.
Hashem gives them the spirit of Nevoah, so why should they not?
So maybe then they should, yeah. I don't know.
But that's kind of to whether or not.
That basically would boil down to the question, are they real, genuine Nevi'im, or are we just using Navi in a looser sense?
Can they be real Nevi'im in God during after the Korban?
So that's the thing. Based on this, it seems that yes. Based on what the Rambam is saying, it seems that yes. And actually, the Rebbe once in that same Sikha, I believe it was Shreftim Nun Aleph, maybe it was a different Sikha, I don't remember, whatever, the Rebbe talked about the idea. Just like we say, for example, the Gemara mentions at the end of Sota that at the time of the Korban, a clear glass disappeared. Chokas Levana, a crystal or whatever, disappeared. But we know it didn't disappear, it just became very, very rare. So by the same logic, when it says that Rachagas Chayim Malachim Nevuah stopped, doesn't necessarily have to mean it completely stopped. It may just mean it became extremely rare, much more so than before. Okay.
So we gave him the name Ezra Navi's parents, or
no? Of course, his parents didn't call him Navi when he was born. People eventually.
People,
it's Chaverim, I guess, called him a Navi. Yeah.
wasn't really a Nazi.
So that whether he was really or not, whatever, he was definitely some level of Ruach HaKodesh beyond the normal, beyond the regular Baalei HaTorah. So that, yeah.
He said what came true.
I guess so.
He was coming out of